Thank you very much, and that brings us to the Q&A session. If you have a question, please use the raise your hand function. I will call your name once it's your turn. When you've been given the floor, a pop-up window will open up, so please then unmute yourself and then wait 2 seconds before you tell us your name and then ask your question. In this way, we can build up your communication to make sure that everyone can hear your question. Your camera will always remain switched off. So let's see how this works. The first question is from Jonas Jansen from the FAZ.
So, ich glaube, das klappt.
I think it seems to be working. Can you hear me? Good. Looks good. Thank you very much. I have two questions. At the beginning, I'd like to ask something about Ukraine. You mentioned that in your annual report. You said that in 2021, which you have just completed, in other words, a production site was set up for corn seed, and in 2021 in Russia, you began to set up a production site there as well. Maybe you could give us a bit more information on that. To what extent will you be involved with crop science and pharmaceuticals in those two countries? And what will that have in terms of an impact on the company? And my second question relates to glyphosate. You referred to the 138,000 claims and 137,000 have been settled. And if I read things correctly, it seems that the provisions for future glyphosate cases would be $7.5 billion. Could you give us some more information on that? How much has been paid out so far in settlement? So how much have you spent, including the provisions that you still have?
Yes, Mr. Jansen, thank you very much for your question. I will answer the first question on Ukraine, and Wolfgang Nickl will answer your second question. Ukraine, our business is essentially agriculture, crop science, consumer health, and pharmaceuticals are smaller in Ukraine. And our seed production has been completed, and as far as the seeds that the farmers need, they've already been supplied to the farmers. In Ukraine, these are businesses that are taken up in the first couple of months of each year. In Russia, it's a bit different. In Russia, most of our business is in pharmaceuticals and consumer health, and the crop science portion is somewhat smaller. But one thing is quite clear: our business in Russia and the size of the country and the population is much larger. So Russia as a whole accounts for about 2% of our group sales with all divisions. Ukraine is much lower, much well below 1% of our business, our global business figures, that is. So I think this gives you sort of an idea. In Ukraine, we've made a lot of investments, and we are also committed to making sure that the civilians in both countries are supplied with our products. They need medicine. They need to have access to food. So even beyond Ukraine, they're a major exporter, and that means that our focus now is to do everything we can to work with partners and other companies in the food chain to ensure food supply also in Russia's export countries, for example, Africa and the Middle East.
Wolfgang? Mr. Jansen, let me talk about the provisions for glyphosate. Let's take one look back. In 2020, we had about $11.7 billion in provisions, and last year we had another $4.5 billion added to the provision, so a total of about $16 billion in total. So we think, and we continue to think, that both the current and future cases can be dealt with. In other words, our five-point plan can be worked through. And as Mr. Baumann said this morning, we are prepared for any outcome that the Supreme Court might come to. And overall, we've considered all, we have $9 billion for all cases in provisions. And as you say, a large share of this was for glyphosate. And as I said, we are now in the process of going through these cases. $3.9 billion in 2020 is what we paid out. And as I said before, it was $4.3 billion last year. And this year, we expect it will be about $2.5 billion for all cases taken together. And that is in our cash plan. But the quintessence from all of this is that we think that we have sufficient amount of provisions. And some of the current cases, the 30,000 cases, and any future cases, we believe that we can deal with all of these with those provisions. Thank you.
The next question is from Patricia Weiss from Reuters. Ms. Weiss. Yes, good morning. I hope you can all hear me. I have three questions. Firstly, when do you expect there will be a decision from the Supreme Court as to whether they will take the case on? There are also, it's also been heard that we may have some information about the sale of pesticides. And lastly, you said that the share prices don't reflect the value of the company. Now, I would be interested here, would you consider sales or any other further division? Thank you, Ms. Weiss. I will try and respond to your three questions. First of all, your first question regarding the decision from the Supreme Court about the appeal, the ongoing appeal case. Now, the Supreme Court will first be calling on, or has called upon the Solicitor General of the US to request an opinion from the US administration. And now there have been a number of discussions between the parties in February, and this recommendation is now being prepared, but there is no fixed date of any deadline as to when this recommendation has to be announced. I think we have to anticipate that this can take a number of months, and once that recommendation has been announced, then the Supreme Court will incorporate it into their own considerations and then decide whether our appeal case will be taken on with our position or whether it won't. And so those are the next steps. The decision regarding whether the case will even be taken on will probably be made in the second half of this year with a subsequent ruling in this case. The second question, the sale of environmental science. Now, we said last year that we would be saying goodbye to this. This process is underway. And we will not be providing any further information about any ongoing sales. And we have said that we want to conclude all of this process by the end of the year. Also, regarding the selection of a prospective buyer and the transaction in and of itself. Regarding the share prices, Wolfgang Nickel has already spoken about this. We are, despite the good performance of our company and our significant progress in innovation and the good news regarding patent protection, particularly with regard to Xarelto, we still can't be happy with our share price. We are doing everything we can to change this. I think also with an attractive outlook that we have for this year, after the very good figures that we have seen for 2021 and the company's focus on the healthcare sector and nutritionals, these are always central because we're talking about people's basic daily needs, and we think that we're in a very good position there long term. Okay, thank you very much. The next question from Annette Becker from the Börsenzeitung. Ms. Becker. Yes, I hope you can hear me as well. Excellent. Good morning. I have a question regarding Ukraine-Russia. Perhaps you could briefly outline it. When you said 2% Russia of your group sales, What is the situation with earnings here? And also, you said that you will focus on providing a civil population with basic goods. And then I have a question regarding litigation from shareholders of the fourth quarter last year. Have you reached a settlement there? And if not, why not? And then I would like to know how you wish to regain your capital costs. Yes, good morning from us as well, Ms. Becker. I will respond to the first three questions and then pass over to Wolfgang Nickel regarding the capital equity costs. Now, firstly, turning to Ukraine, Russia. What we have seen here, I don't think anybody, certainly we, didn't anticipate this happening 2 weeks ago. A war in the middle of Europe with Russia invading Ukraine and being just at the gates of Kiev and bombarding Kiev. And a war can only ever have losers, and it is predominantly civil society that suffers. For us, it's very, very key that in this situation as well, we do everything we possibly can to help people in Ukraine, but also in Russia, to provide them with access to the products that they need. Just to reiterate, we're talking about an awful lot of people who are reliant on medication from us, but also from our competitors. I think what I'm saying now is true of all other companies, particularly in the pharmaceutical industry and in the agricultural sector. Our primary focus is ultimately providing people with medicine and food and securing this in both countries. But we are subject to the primacy of politics, as I've already said. We will, of course, adhere to the measures that are determined and stipulated by politics, for example, payment and transaction and access to these. So we will, of course, adhere to these. But this is also the purpose and the aim of our politicians. We see that civil society is suffering, and we need to make sure that they do not suffer any more than they are already suffering. I think I have said everything I have to say regarding Ukraine and Russia, also regarding the sanctions, and I would now like to pass over to Wolfgang Nickel regarding the capital costs. I think there was also a question about the shareholder litigation, but I can respond to that as well. Good morning, Ms. Becker. Now, you know the rules about accruals. It has to be probable and it has to be calculable. And neither of these criteria fulfilled. It's more likely than not. We didn't have any accruals set aside for this. Regarding the capital costs, we currently assume that over the course of this year, with the increased earnings of 7 euros per share and lower special items, we were talking about 4.8 billion last year, and we have over 1 billion extra in our outlook, so it should be possible to settle out with the capital costs here this year. The next question is from Bert Fronthoff from the Handelsblatt. Mr. Fronthoff.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay. I have to ask another question about Russia. Perhaps you could give us the mood of your employees in Russia. What do they have to say with regard to the situation there? And what have you thought about having some of the German employees come back to Germany from Russia? And do you also expect a type of chain reaction in agriculture? For example, exporter, you talked about Ukraine and Russia supplies products for fertilizer in Brazil, Latin America, where Bayer is very much exposed there. And also, are you worried that the agriculture may suffer as a result as well?
Good morning, Mr. Frontov. Thank you for your questions. As far as the mood goes, yesterday we talked with our senior management by phone. It was a Teams meeting, actually. And of course, just like today, the situation there in Russia and in Ukraine is what everyone is focusing on. Of course, we saw that our people in Ukraine have to be brought to safety. We are seeing to it that private initiatives are also being used to come up with emergency accommodation. And I'm sure you've seen this on the news as well. A lot of people are having a lot of problems in getting money. Here too, we saw to it that our company provided cash for every employee so that they can overcome this first emergency. And what we've seen in Ukraine, the suffering there, and also with our Ukrainian employees who work outside of Ukraine, working for Bayer, that they are very, very much committed to their fellow citizens. We're doing a whole lot more in all sorts of areas. Our first amount of donations, cash and medicine has been sent, and we also have a program which is, we have a donation program which is matched by us. So we are the first ones, and we have, our money has been received, and people are doing this as well, and people are very, very much committed in private areas as well. As far as this chain reaction is concerned, well, think of it like this. You've also seen that the males are not allowed to leave the country. In other words, not to perform their normal jobs, but they are going to serve in the military. And this relates to all sectors of the economy and our business as well. And we have some of our employees who have already gone to the military. And there is an acute lack of truck drivers in Ukraine and Russia. We provide them with their products by road. And there are major problems even before the situation. There was a very negative situation in terms of transportation. And we've also seen that the prices for raw materials in agriculture are at a very high level due to the crisis, but they've gone up again because people are concerned not only because of the drought in Latin America, but that there could be disruptions in supplies, and this could lead to further shortages. So this is something that always affects the poorest people first in Africa and in the Near East, that they're afraid there won't be sufficient supply. There are a lot of effects that we are keeping our eyes on. We've been analyzing all of this, the payment transactions, which we've discussed as well. Of course, there is a crisis team and other crisis teams working to join up with the main crisis team in order to manage this as best we possibly can. The next question is from Antje Hoening from the Rheinische Post. Go ahead, Ms. Hoening. Good morning. I have three questions on Russia. First of all, what would happen if all of the Russian banks were excluded in the SWIFT system? What would happen then? How would you make emergency payments then? And what about, would you consider Bayer leaving Russia? Also production, et cetera. Do you have any plans in that respect? And as far as the national economy is concerned, do we expect a major recession such as what we had after the financial crisis in 2008? Good morning, Ms. Hoening. Thank you for your questions. As we've already said when we talked about energy payments and energy supplies, there will not be a complete closure of payment transactions. Certain things will be prevented, And this is also in the interest of the West, in Germany, for energy supply. We will have access to energy, and I certainly hope that this will apply to other areas as well, where vital products are needed, both in Ukraine and also in Russia. We hope that they should be able to be supplied. To make one thing very clear, for us, it's not so much a question of economic interest. As I said before, business in Russia and in Ukraine is relatively small compared to our overall sales figures. But that millions of people in both countries, if they have no access to these very vital products, and that is what I said in my speech, Bayer is doing everything it can and will continue to do so, so that we have 100,000 colleagues and we want to be sure to do what we can. Now, your second question, in a crisis, you always ask, what are we doing? And for us, even in other crises that we've been through in recent decades worldwide, we've always said, we are a good corporate citizen. And we're active in these countries so that the population can be served locally with our products as well as our employees. And as long as there are no major restrictions and further sanctions, which would then make it impossible to do business, but we will continue to do business as long as we can. And when it comes to nutrition and healthcare, we see that it's the civilians that are affected most. As far as economic impact is concerned, well, I think it's much too early to say. When we talked about our outlook for 2022, and we said, let's first of all, we're saying that we're optimistic for the year, but of course we do see certain effects of the crisis from Ukraine, as well as anything else that might result for the world economy. These have not been taken into account. We will see to it and try to manage them as best we can. And everything else is what we will see in the quarters to come. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Ludwig Burger from Reuters. Mr. Burger. Thank you. I would just like to ask regarding payment and transactions in Russia. I understood that that is still working with the SWIFT transfer, and also regarding any force majeure regarding a supplier who is important for your glyphosate production, and you said that that would probably restrict your glyphosate supply, and I don't think you said anything about how you would be able to supply your customers. So perhaps you can say something about that and how you can overcome these problems. Well, regarding payment transfers at the moment, I think I would like to pass over to Wolfgang. And then regarding force majeure and glyphosate production, I would like to pass this question to Rodrigo Santos. Yes, Mr. Burger, this money transfers, very, very volatile situation. It's Russian banks that are not allowed to use the SWIFT system, but international banks are. And of course, we have a crisis team for Treasury, and we're looking at questions such as effects, whether we can still hedge, how the various markets are affected. And we're doing this, looking at this on a daily basis. But at the moment, all money transfer systems are working. Now to Rodrigo.
Just very briefly here on that one. So we had one of our suppliers that had a mechanical failure in one of their sites that had that impact. That had an impact in this quarter right now, but it's a marginal impact for the full year. So our supplier organization was able to create some alternative plans, and I can affirm that we're going to be able to supply our customers for this season with a marginal impact based on that specific failure of one of our suppliers.
Und die nächste Frage.
And the next question from Olaf Storbeck from the Financial Times. Mr. Storbeck.
Ja, hallo, könnt ihr mich hören?
Hopefully everybody can hear me, yes. I also have a question regarding the Treasury aspect. It would appear that there are no problems at the moment with payments and money transfers, but do you know already which banks are affected and to what extent you will be affected? Because the big question to me is that we could, or you could be moving towards a situation where company operations are cut off from your company cash pool. So how would your employees be affected by this, and how would you try and overcome that? Yes, of course. Thank you, Mr. Storbeck. We are asking this question to ourselves as well. We are working together with our 23 relationship banks, and it would appear that we have a solution for this, and intercompany financing is an important aspect in this regard. But I don't think anybody can make an exact prediction at the moment. I don't think any German or any other international company could do that. But at the moment, everything seems fine. Thank you. The next question is from Elisabeth Durstadt from Süddeutsche Zeitung.
Vielleicht könnten Sie sich
Perhaps you could. Yes, now we can hear you. I have a question about Ukraine. Perhaps you can tell us exactly how many employees you have in Ukraine and how many employees you have in Russia and how many production locations, production sites you have. And do you expect in Ukraine, where we have winter grain already on the fields, but summer grain, do you think you will be able to provide enough crop protection productions, do you, products? Do you expect a failed harvest in Ukraine because the crops won't be able to be treated? And then I have a question about energy prices. Which oil price and which gas prices are you using for the basis of your outlook? What? How strongly did the increases in energy prices affect your figures last year, and what is your opinion for the coming year? Good morning, Ms. Dostert. Thank you for your questions. Let me begin with the question about the employees in Russia and Ukraine. We have around 1,800 employees in Russia and around 700 employees in Ukraine. We don't have any of our any own production sites in Russia, but as I've already said, particularly in Ukraine, we've invested in the agricultural sector, and we do have a number of production sites in Ukraine for seed production as well. Of course, we don't only supply seed, but also crop protection in to Ukraine, and we have first of all ensured that the stocks, which some of which are in our warehouses and some in our Ukrainian organizations, are accessible. We have ensured this. We have thus far been able to supply our customers, who of course themselves until a week ago were going about their business as usual, including in the agricultural sector. Therefore, after a week of this conflict, I don't think we can have any perspective as to whether we'll have a failed harvest or not. That will very much depend on how things unfurl over the next few months and as to whether farmers will be able to work their fields again and harvest the crops and then subsequently sell what they've harvested nationally and internationally. And I've already referred to our partners in the food chain, that we're working together with retailers in these sectors, and we're trying to support them as best we can regarding the prices, energy, infrastructure. Of course, the price increases have affected us. We've seen what's happened in a private setting as well on these markets, and we have initially taken the prices and costs from last year for our outlook, because they were the parameters that we had, and these crisis-related peaks that I've that we've already seen have not been incorporated into our outlook. However, I would very much say that we are not as energy intensive as we used to be, because we are focusing more on healthcare and agriculture. Therefore, if you look at all the energy-related expenses on an annual basis, we're talking about €500 million last year, and this will, of course, increase. That's what we assume, perhaps significantly. But as I've already said, we will have to see how we can account for these cost increases and hold our pledges for 2022 and mitigate these price increases.
So we have time for three more questions. Mr. Davis, go ahead. Good morning. Thank you. I have a question on the 1,800 employees that you have in Russia. If you don't have any production sites there, what do they do? And my second question is, in other areas, you said that the cold and flu products, that demand for that has increased. Can you tell us to what extent this has gone up, and to what extent did it decline in the first part of the year? Thank you. Good morning, Mr. von Drewitz. Thank you for your questions. As I said, in Russia, we have primarily the healthcare sector, in other words, pharmaceuticals and consumer health. That is the largest share of our business there. That's why in this area, most of our employees work in those divisions. Of course, there are field reps for consumer health and pharmaceuticals, and this would also include our infrastructure here for our Russian company there. And of course, they have some people supporting this business. Now, as far as the flu season 2020 and 2021 and the shifts for different reasons, Heiko Rippe will answer that question for you. Heiko, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Werner. Indeed, if we look at the developments in 2021, we really have to go back to 2020 first to understand the trends. In 2020, we saw in the first half, when the pandemic was just starting, actually people buying a lot of products related to cough and cold, as the pandemic was somehow also related to respiratory disease. So we saw a big jump in the first half of 2020. And as we then went through 2021, we then saw in the first half of 2021 a double-digit decline in sales, because there was indeed hardly any cold, as people were wearing masks. And people were also by that time clear that the only solution was to vaccinate and not to use cough and cold products. So 2021 saw a very negative first half, double digit. In the second half, then as the many countries started to open up more, we saw a kind of recovery. But I think we have to be clear that still the cough and cold is still below where it was before. So in the second half, there was a double-digit increase in sales. Overall, however, the category was still negative in 2021. In 2022, we can expect the first half to be positive, because last year, in 2021, the first half, it was very low. And of course, economies and countries are opening up more. So there will be a higher level
that I expect then in 2022 in the second half to flatten out. So just to make the story simple, 2022 is likely going to be a higher growth in that category as masking is being reduced around the world. And also then flu is going to unfortunately increase. And as a consequence, people will buy more products. Yeah, so we expect for 2022 probably in the high single digits, maybe even double digit growth on cough and cold, mainly in the first half of the year.
Und die nächste Frage kommt.
And the next question is Tim Lowe from Bloomberg. Mr. Lowe, go ahead.
Hello, guten Morgen. Ich versuche.
Good morning. I'm trying to understand what the impact of the war will be when it comes to global food supply. As I said, how can it be? Ukraine is the fourth largest supplier of wheat and corn, and why does Bayer only earn less than 1% of its earnings in Ukraine? I don't understand how that fits together. And I also want to know, if there is a poor crop in Ukraine, how could Bayer help out elsewhere worldwide? So is there a backup plan, so to speak? Those were my two questions. Thank you. Thank you. Ukraine is an agricultural country. They have very fertile soil and large areas, and agriculture is clearly the most important source of foreign exchange, and it is the main driver for exports. In Ukraine, we've been active there for many decades, and we also have a very good market share there. And in Ukraine, you will see the sales of seed and pesticides. It's somewhat different than the business we have in the U.S., Canada, or Latin America. And then, of course, Rodriguez Santos can maybe give us some more information on that in just a minute, and he can tell us how all of these businesses fit together and how our sales is relatively small in Ukraine for Bayer, but it is also where crop science has the major role to play. Now, as far as crises and disruptions in agriculture, when it comes to the supply chain, poor crops, etc., this is a bit too early right now to say. We don't know what the impact will be, and we're working hard to make sure that it doesn't happen. And even before the attack of the Russians in Ukraine, we were talking to the Ukrainians to come up with some emergency plans that can be activated. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. Rodrigo, maybe you can say a couple of things about the business in Ukraine and the overall business for crop science.
Thank you, Werner. As you said, right, so Ukraine is very concentrated on corn. Many other countries are more diversified in terms of crops and also a lot of consumption internally. So Ukraine is an important exporter for corn, especially. We are very concerned, as Werner said, not only about Ukraine, but what is this impact globally, right? We are watching that very closely. Some of you also mentioned about the fertilizers coming from Russia to other countries, to Latin America as another example. So that's our concern. Our concern is about the food supply. And this is what we're going to do again as Bayer, as we did before, work very close with our customers to supply them what is needed so they can produce the food for the society. So it's an important element. We're going to be watching closely. As Werner mentioned many times, it's very hard to predict what will happen right now because we didn't start even the season in Ukraine, the planting season. But we're going to need to watch this very closely and work very close with the farmers to supply what they need to produce the food.
We will draw this financial news conference to a close. Thank you very much for your interest and your attention. Thank you. And please stay healthy. And we wish all of you a good day in these very moving times. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.